good? But I was going to mention yesterday, so two quick ha'aros in light of the things that we've been doing. Firstly, just to clarify what I meant a couple of days ago about Bezen HaGadol. So my point was that there's evidence that Bezen HaGadol might be shakol instead of notep. And there's some evidence that in certain issues like Par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur, and probably more, that you need kol or rov mitoch hakol more than any other din Torah. And what I was trying to explain was that on the one hand, for Bezen HaGadol, what you need is there's like a certain clashing again of factors here, or dialectic. When on the one hand, you need the haskama or the heskem of the widest possible sort, because you're trying to represent the interests of all of Klal Yisrael. At the same time, more than in any other circumstances, the individual members of the miut are more difficult to dismiss, kimisha'eno, because number one, of the stature of the members of Bezen HaGadol, and number two, because of the base medrash part, if you will, or the Torah Shebaal Peh part of what they're doing, which promotes more of an elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim on a certain level, at least. Again, not in terms of the final psak necessarily, but in terms of the discussion. So what I'm trying to say is that you need greater consensus, and you also have more of a reason, right, to accentuate each individual position. And therefore, you end up with this possible need of kol, or at least rov mitoka kol, rubo kakulo, in order to accomplish one, given the reality of the other. And again, the two are obviously work at cross purposes in one sense, in terms of the mechanism, but they're totally consistent in terms of the objectives. In other words, the fact that these are Chachmei Masora, and therefore you want to have this greater consensus, is the same reason why it's just more difficult, to simply dismiss, the minority position. That's what I meant, if you're coming to ask me about that. And then I think I made the comment that the Marime Rav even says that in parallel, Davar Shel Tzibur maybe is different, because an extreme example of this, because if it turns out that Bezen HaGadol made a mistake, but there was even one dissenting vote, he's saying, if lu yitzuyer, that it's true, that it doesn't depend on rov, l'halacha, and it depends on kol. So he says, well, why would that be? Not because it's a paradigm for anything else, but because of the idea that when it comes to personal ta'us also, as long as there's somebody in the Chachmei Masora who's saying something differently, so then instead of seeing this as the ta'us of Bezdin, it's still on some level your ta'us for following it. And the Ralbach is very angry about that, because he thinks that kind of teeters on the edge, I guess, of Zakein Mamre-esque, because you're supposed to follow the majority. So again, I don't think the Marie Beirav meant it that way. I think what he meant was, on the one hand, you're supposed to follow the majority, but in terms of whether Al-Pidin, that's considered to be, a ta'os, or your ta'os and their ta'os, it's a ta'os that you're supposed to make, but, like in the back of your mind, I guess, either to avoid this whole thing, or in retrospect, to view it that way. So I think it's a really fascinating exchange. All the exchanges, like we still have more to do on that on Mondays, but that's one of the really fascinating exchanges between them about what's the line about talking Mamre, you need a decisive psak, Mishpadacha Yalachem, Shaloyi Kishtei Toros. As I said, I think the other time, that some people see the Zakin Mamre as a hero in terms of his conscientious objection, and he is to a certain point. As long as he knows when to give way. Because if he doesn't, then he's an egotist, and he's a maverick who's defying the system. And, that is no longer something that we are... It's not that we say, oh, Nebuch, Shaloi Kishtei Toros. At that point, he becomes really, a problem, and it becomes about himself rather than about, his conscientious objection. But that's not at all what's at stake in the exchange of the Ralbach and the Maribei Rav, because they're not arguing what you should do, they're just arguing how to assess it, in retrospect. But it's a really interesting argument. That's point number one. Point number two I wanted to mention quickly is that Ariel mentioned to me at the end of last week, we were talking about Bezenota, so he was just pointing out the language of Mishnah, you know, when it comes to the ten, instead of saying ten, but when it comes to Hekdesh, the language of the Mishnah is that you need three. How does it go? Hekdeshos bishlosha, Rabbi Yudah Omer, echad mehem kohen. But when it comes to karka, it's hakarkos tisha v'kohen. So that's an interesting point, you know, whether or not, again, similar to what we've been discussing about, you know, like in Sanhedrin Agidola, according to Rashi, according to Tosis, and so on, you know, are there different components within the units? And do they play different roles? The Gilyon, you know, we talked about it in Zavla, right? So, in a sense, what you might say is that, you know, Tisha v'Kohen, as opposed to there are ten u'betocham Kohen, is a way of saying that really, on a certain level, there's a Bezenota here, but there's also then the function of the Kohen. So, I think that's a good hara, especially when you compare it to the Hekdeshos one. And then also, just, we mentioned yesterday the Shashmaitza again, we're talking about natural and superficial or behavioral or temporary social norms, right? And again, we're making the point that the distinction is not in the percentages, because, you know, they might be equal, or maybe they're even weighted, you know, towards the behavioral one, you know, but that's not the point. The point is that the objective rove is something which we, you know, see more as a mavarer, or more as you know, eliminating the latest hasafek, whereas the behavioral one, or the, you know, popular one, the pragmatic one, is something, you know, by definition, you know, which is more fleeting, and therefore, you know, it's hard to say that the miut, you know, is kamisha'eno, or that we dismiss it, because it's just, you know, why is it a miut, is the question. Not how much of a miut it is, or how likely, but why is it a miut? Anyways, and that's more arbitrary. I'm setting this up a little bit. So Jakey asked me the other day, well, isn't the Chef Schmeitzer trying to explain, Tosis was trying to explain that the Gimel Dayanim are different than the Ruba Laradia, right? So the Gimel Dayanim is not a natural rove, right? That's what you asked? So the answer that I think is very clear, and that is, it's not so much, if we explain it this way, the point is that it's the arbitrariness or the artificiality, you know, of the Ruba Laradia. It's not so much that you need, you know, that the, you know, Ruba, you know, which works is natural. But the point is that in the case of Dayanim, we're talking about a logical argument. We're talking about, let's assume for the moment, you know, get away from Rabbi Acha Bar Eidra Bika, or, you know, Tshuvas Gonim Kadmonim, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, type issues. Let's assume for the moment that the, you know, the competence of the Dayanim is roughly, you know, equal. You know, so then it's not an arbitrary decision, and it's not a behavioral decision or a social decision, you know, that is likely to, you know, be a fleeting in a particular society. You know, this is not arbitrary at all. It's not natural like Tisha Yarche Leda, maybe, but it is based on rigor and objective analysis. So the fact that this has a objective foundation, I think it's a very good comment, because you could have said otherwise, and you still could say otherwise. But he's absolutely right. I mean, the Chef Schmeitzer doesn't really relate to this question. But one could say that, you know, there's some special status of objective roves and natural roves, or ontological roves, or metaphysical roves, you know, to use the Rav's language. And obviously, if that was the point rather than the contrast, then Gimel Dayanim, you know, wouldn't really exactly qualify. But in the sense that it is the opposite of being arbitrary, because it's based on merit and argumentation and knowledge and our reliance, that's what Torah, again, Tama Masorah and Torah Shebaal Peh, right? We rely on this working. That doesn't mean that it's infallible, but, you know, it's not arbitrary that we rely on the, and we'll get to this in a second, this is actually a very interesting issue in what we're about to discuss, the Kimlei issue, but it's not arbitrary, and the role of Svara is not just personal. It's that we think that if people are well trained, you know, that their Svaras matter. You know, A, that they'll likely come to, you know, the truth, or at least a proper Elu v'Elu one of truths, and B, that we're willing to invest the system. You know, Yiftach Bedoro, Shmuel Bedoro, Moshe Bedoro. That's how we do it, as long as the people have the proper level of competence. I think it's a very good hara, and I think it's a very important principle. Okay, so I want to get back now to finishing up the... Before we speak a little more about Reb Chaim, I'd use that as a point of departure for the, Shaka Vatari, the rest of the Gemara, and the Sugya and Chavtesa and Aflamed. I want to finish up our discussion of the Kudus HaSfeik, because I was a little bit all over the place yesterday, so I brought in the text, so I can be a little bit more... organized. So again, the Kudus HaSfeikos is just a great work. You should all be familiar with it, as is Shev Shmaitza. And last year I think we did a little bit of Klalei Sfeika, of the Shach. Like, these are just really incredible. Last year we also did, we had the opportunity to read, from the Ramban, his work on Avelos, Torah Sa'adam. So whenever the Rishonim or the Achronim, whenever they, step back and take the global view, you can really see their powers. It's one thing to comment on the Shakla Vitaria, or to ask a question, to give an answer, to make a comment. That's also obviously hugely impressive in what they are able to control. But when they step back and they just do these, global things, the Shaks, Sefer Tokva Kohen, or these kind of, you just really see how they have total control, and they've thought it all out, and it's really an impressive thing. Anyway, so Kudus HaSfeikos is in this klal, is about this topic when we say Ein Ochem B'Mamon Achar Rov Anat, and mostly he's trying to use the some of the makoros that we're using here, Tosas and Amaniach and Tosas and Sanhedrin, some of the related Gemaras. To give him guidance in that. So it starts off, with a recognition that these are the main sources, Tosim Bava Kama and Tosim and Sanhedrin. And that's where he gets into the, how do you explain the ambiguities in both Tosasin, right? Because you have two Tosasin, they go in opposite directions. There's a huge nafkamina, which all the, whether it's the Shev Shmaitza or his brother, are all bringing out, and that is whether fundamentally we have a klal ein ochem mamon achar rov in dinei mamonos or not, which is the exception, which is the rule. That's clear. But both Bali Tosas here, mokom hinicho lehisgad there, because there's ambiguities in each one. We don't know what the rov garua is in Tosas and Sanhedrin, and that's hugely important. And that's where we get to, the Bach and the Shev Shmaitza and the Trumas HaDeshen and whatever other answers there are to try to figure out what Rov Garua is, assuming that it's not numbers, which I think is likely. And that becomes a very important paradigm. That's what he begins with. And then, of course, to analyze Tosas and Bava Kama, right, which goes the other way, but also leaves us with ambiguity in the form of, number one, an uncertain relationship between two different factors, the miut kaman delesa on the one hand, and the hefker bez and hefker on the other. So there were some achronim who thought that these were two different answers. And that's, interesting. It doesn't sound that way in Tosas, but certainly we understand how each one could answer the question. If miut is kaman delesa, then there's no motzim mechavela varaya. If there's hefker bez and hefker, there's no motzim mechavela varaya. But since it doesn't sound that way in Tosas, and it's one answer, so then the question is challenging to figure out what it is. It's also challenging to figure out each one of these factors, because why is it kimi she'eino? And why is Bezin's role in paskening, assumed to be, founded on their capacity in hefker bezin hefker? Especially if, as Rabbi points out, is correct, which is a debate, and that is especially not all about the dinim. Either do hefker bezin hefker, or maybe all batei dinim, even if they can do hefker bezin hefker, but they have to do it consciously, not implicitly. So that's why, objectively, we're standing before difficulties in reading both Tosas in Sanhedrin and Tosas in Bava Kama. And then, of course, whatever we're going to come up with, whatever is going to be produced by these difficulties, is going to end up being a huge factor, right? Both in Ein Hocham B'Momen Acharov, and also potentially in our understanding of how a Beis Din works, right? So the stakes could not be any higher. That's why we're spending, you know, these 2 days on this topic. But it's just, you know, sometimes you have to stand back and just realize what's going on and why it's going on. So these are the objective difficulties that the Achronim are contending with. And they say different things. So the just to go a little bit more in order, the Kuntos HaSfeikos in Klal, there's all Klal Vav, right? So in Klal Beis, when he starts speaking about Tosfos in HaMeniach, that's what he says. He quotes Tosfos HaMeniach, and then he says, U'divreyem stumim, d'ma shekosav d'gabin dayonim chashav miyut d'dek k'misha'eno, tzorech tam, my taima hay miyuta gora mishar miyuta. Gam maishna, gam ma shekosav v'leika l'meimer hosav uki mimona b'cheskos, mare, d'abezen mafgir, minei d'avrzelo mizbayar midi. Right, and then I'm skipping a few lines. Kvar nischabet b'dibur zeh, moharosh, that's the Trumas Hadeshen, b'tshuvosav, v'hitchil afarek, v'lo pirik, v'niyek b'tzarchiyun. Like, there's a whole history of this, but then that's what the Chachmim, you know, everybody's joining into this history, you know, and the consequences are significant. So, what I didn't get to yet was the preferred answer that the Kuntos HaSfeikos really likes. But then in the end, he, you know, sadly lets go of. And that's the answer, I didn't speak about it yet, right? Of the Maram ibn Chaviv. So what is the answer to Maram ibn Chaviv? Anybody see it? Avram?
The other line, but basically says that once the minority can't, you know, the whole red gets the star of the road. So it's therefore it's my delay.
So he's got to give in. The minority, Dayan, has to relent to the majority. So the question is, where does that come from? Where does it come from? What's so interesting about it? I mean, he says it. The pshat of Kamisha Eino is that the minority has to relent to the majority. But we know, we're not relenting people, you know. So why would you do that? Especially feel strongly that his position, not that he was convinced. He's got to stamp this as a you know, he's got to stamp the psak. What's it based on? Yeah, so this is what's really fascinating. There are two fascinating things about this, I think. Number one, this is an extension of Zakei Mamre. And again, as we discussed, we were discussing in other contexts, but there are times when a concept doesn't technically, narrowly apply. I mean, we all know what the real case of Zakei Mamre is. But the trick sometimes is also to figure out, you know, whether there aren't echoes of a concept or you know, more moderate expressions of it, because we're talking about values here. So while we know that Zakei Mamre is in the context of a Beis Din HaGadol, and maybe either Kol or Rov, or and that it's, you know, paskening independently going forward or encouraging people to violate or not to accept the Psak, and that's the Shelo Yekish De Taros, as we discussed a second ago. That's what Zakei Mamre is, and that's kind of the death penalty. Nonetheless, Maram ibn Chaviv basically says that there is a moderate Zakei Mamre in every Beis Din. And that's a huge chiddush, that there is such an andoshin and that this is an application of it. So basically, he is obligated, when he sits with the other Dayanim, he's obligated to, you know, succumb, or to at least corroborate and to stand by the conclusion on the basis of, you know, the unity of this Beis Din's psak. And he calls this umatsasi eshava nafshi, by the way. And then when he rejects it later on, he also says, alas, alas, you know, he bemoans. So he really likes it a lot. Yeah, I'm sorry, do you want to ask him?
How would this be similar or different from Losan al Rif? Just fact.
What do you mean? Losan al Rif is.
I mean, yeah, but in the same way, we're not really allowing him to argue on
It's more than that. We're saying that he has to really like sign on to the psak.
Oh, he can't just...
Right? I mean, he really has to endorse the psak. And we'll get to that in a minute. That's the other point. The second point that's so interesting here is how close this is to what Reb Chaim says. But, again, some years ago we did some Mondays on Reb Chaim. So I wanted to bring several examples to try to highlight what is unique and singular about Reb Chaim's approach. So I thought that you could do that in two opposite different ways. One is, showing very, very strong contrasts, where Reb Chaim says something so different than everybody else, as an example of the breakthrough and what it is. But equally, taking things that are very similar and we get almost the same answer, but examining, the language, and the formulation. So I don't remember if I got to this example in the end. I remember, we kept running out of time. But this was one of the ones that I had in mind. This Maram ibn Chabib. Because basically what he's saying is that what needs to happen, that the Dayan Shlishi is Kamisha Eino, and that he has to corroborate, the Psak Din. But he's not saying it the way Reb Chaim's saying it. Reb Chaim's saying it because, not anything, he doesn't have to relent, he never has to go retract his view. But that happens, based on the Lomdus Al Pidin, basically. That's what a Bezdin, we already know what Reb Chaim says, right? That's what we'll talk a little bit more about in a few minutes, but that's what a Bezdin is. It's an institution. And it's an institution that transcends the individuals. And therefore it's the consensus of the unit of the group. And therefore Al Pidin, the Dayan HaShlishi, that's Reb Chaim too, is Kimi Kamandalesa. Because there is no Dayan Shlishi, there's no Dayan Rishon, there's no Dayan Sheni. There's only the Bezdin, which, based on Ruba Kakula, the consensus of which came to a certain conclusion. Maram ibn Khabib is basically saying that the Bezdin has to have, three, supporters. But instead of saying that is Al Pidin, what a Bezdin is, the consensus of the unit, what he's saying is that Midin, moderate, Zakein Mamre, the Dayan HaShlishi, has to sign away his intellectual, objections. Again, just like the real Zakein Mamre can continue to fight as much as he wants to in the base Medrash, right? But the real Zakein Mamre can't go out and tell people or himself Paskin, based on his conscientious objection. And in this particular Chiddush, right, the Dayan Shlishi has to sign on, as it were, and endorse the Psak. So you get the same result almost, but it's without the formulation and the natural, mechanism, that Reb Chaim is so beautifully describing, and which once, it's identified, you can really see as being like a crucial idea, not only going forward, but going backwards. As we're going to explain in just a couple of minutes, the very next, it works beautifully for the Reb Chaim's idea, for the connection between Bezin Noteh and Acharav Lahatos. That's what I was suggesting for Rabbeinu Hananel and others the other day. Acharav Lahatos, right, is a demonstration of the unit idea of Bezdin, which is why Bezdin Noteh, the capacity to come to independent, self-sufficient judgment, becomes a part of that. But it also helps tremendously to read the next Gemara. Right after this Gemara, you have this discussion of Rebbe and the Chachamim, right, whether you really need three Dayanim or you need five Dayanim. So we'll get back to that in a second. But for now, back to Maram ibn Chabib, I say there are two, I think, interesting elements. One is this doctrine itself, and B, how it is, so proximate to what Reb Chaim says, but without some of the benefits of the formulation and the conceptualization of it. There's no conceptualization in Maram ibn Chabib. There's a chiyuv, a requirement to be mevatel datcha ledas, ha'acherim, and that's why he needs a kind of quasi Zakein Mamre. So it's Matzasias Shavanafshi, Basof Sefer Gat Pashtu L'Ram Ibn Kaviv. Then he has it. V'yir D'Hochi Kama Kivin Shomer Matora Achar Amalahatos Miyot Adayar Mevatlin Daitan. And there's a humility aspect which Reb Chaim doesn't require here, which he does. Right? There's a Chiddush in Ram Ibn Kaviv which is greater than Reb Chaim and lesser than Reb Chaim. B'pnei Svaras Harov V'yir D'Cholim L'Horos K'Svaras Harabim K'Disa B'Hanech Nakim Gabi Zaken Mamre. The after bezin shel gimel im rabu amizakim ala mechayv moed chavadai inochanami mishelo hiskim imarov iniochal horus kisvarasam neged chaver of harabin v'zeo kavanas atosus etc. Behind the saimi, I want to do the next half. Da bezin mafkinim in a klomar kol klolus bezin v'amiut shayivas b'sayin oso levaklan daiton amitzarfen imarov lahotzimo and miado. You have to kind of, you know. The second factor isn't the second factor. It means that's why we're motzi mamon here, because there's no problem of rov. It's a kol, but it's a kol for this particular reason. Now, this idea that there's a moderate zaken mamre, I should also mention, also appears in Achronim in another context. Anybody know? And then nothing I gave you. Lo sasur. Everybody knows the famous debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether lo sasur, you know, is an iser that says that, you know, not listening to dinei derabanan violates din Torah lo sasur, or not. So again, the Rambam's view is that lo sasur is a doraisa violation when you reject the koach hachamim and derabanans. And the Ramban disagrees, and, you know, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot, as we know, asks all sorts of questions. The Ramban says, you've totally blurred, you know, the lines of Doraisas and Drabanans, and Speka Drabanan Lakula, which some Achronim say, of all people, don't ask that to the Rambam, you know, because he really holds Speka Doraisa Lachomber is only Drabanan. Okay. There are various answers that are given to these questions. Ramban suggests and then rejects, and the Chiddush Aran in Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, in Sanhedrin, actually says it, and then a lot of Achronim said it. Oh, maybe it's a din in, you know, Kai Gavna Lo Tiknu, B'Makom Safek. All sorts of answers are given to those questions. But one of the answers that Achronim suggest, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a discussion of this in his famous Kuntos Divrei Sofrim, where he talks about this whole issue at length, is the idea that Rav said something like it as well, that maybe the Isra of Lo Sasur is a kind of Isra Mered. You know, the Rambam then never meant that every Drabanan is a Doraisa because of Lo Sasur. Because if you say that, then, you know, you get into all the difficulties that the Ramban is happy to identify. Clearly, a Drabanan is a Drabanan, and a Doraisa is a Doraisa. Well, my own view of the Rambam, just for another time, is that the Rambam only means that when you violate a Drabanan, you violate a Doraisa. Not that the Cheftza or the Maisa is a Doraisa. Maisa, the Cheftza is Drabanan, that it's Nidon according to all the rules of Drabanan. And you have to violate it, you know, like you violated Drabanan in order to violate it and trigger the Doraisa. Okay. But that's my view. But anyway, that I think is really what the Rambam's saying. But some of the Achronim say it a little bit differently. Rav also said it a little differently. And that is that the Isra of Lasasur is a kind of Isra Merit. And it doesn't mean, not what I just said and not what the Ramban thought the Rambam said, that every Drabanan is a Doraisa. What it means is that you have to listen to the Chachamim, and, you know, if you defy them or you reject them, then that's a violation of Lo Sasur. So maybe that's a reason why you have to violate on a Vadai level, not on Safek. You know, if you violate the Safek, and that's the only reason you're doing it, that's not an act of merit. Right, that's just it shows you're throwing caution to the wind, right? But it doesn't. If you're only going to violate it because it's a safek, you're obviously not a more. Anyways, some of the people who suggest that lo sasur is an iser mered, in order to explain some of the things, say that lo sasur is basically the the hedyot moderate expression of zakei mamre. I think that's what Zaken Mamre is, a rebel, right? The rebel elder. Is that what they call him? Dr. Bobby? Rebel Elder? Elder Rebel? Sounds like a wand. There's something wrong, right? No. Anyways, something like that. So the... So what they say is that there's a notion of Zakei Mamre, right, which is the full-fledged Zakei Mamre, the one who gets Misa. He has to be a Samuch. He has to be a member of Bezna Gadol. He has to be somebody, you know, who's a Bar Hachi, that A, should know better, B, that is more of a danger. Like, you know, if he was just a minor figure, so then, you know, what he's doing would be totally despicable and improper, but he wouldn't be getting the death penalty because, you know, he's not a danger to the system and people shouldn't be, you know, taking him so seriously. But in addition to regular Zakin Mamre, that's what some of the Achronim say, is there's a moderate Zakin Mamre, a Zakin Mamre in a hedgeot, you know, context. And that's also awesome. Again, the Chinuch doesn't say that exactly, but the Chinuch, as we know, often has levels of, v'noeg mitzvah zu and so on, or bezman hazeh, just like we found, you know, in Smicha. You know, sometimes the Chinuch will say, the real, you know, hardcore, you know, classical, you know, expression is this, you know, but just like it says about bezman hazeh in Shoftu v'Shotrim, we don't have Smicha anymore, but any person that you're memane alat zibur, you know, you should, make these appointments and make them judiciously, and the people themselves, you know, have the responsibility to make sure that their integrity, you know, is mekadeshim shemayim, you know, and so on. So similarly, the Chinuch, when he speaks about lo sasur and so on, says that, you know, you have to listen to Bezna Gadol, and when there's no Bez Nagol, you have to listen to the Chachamim of your time. You know, this kind of like a moderate, you know, version of that. It's always hard to know in the Chinuch, you know, how, well, these moderate versions are just on the Hashkafa level or a little bit on the Halacha. It's hard to know, and I think Yesh V'Yesh, and you just have to use often your instinct. But shouldn't take it too seriously, but, you know, seriously enough to be inspired by it, but not to be misled by it, is what I'm trying to say. Anyways, this Marim Ibn Khabib is a great example of that within a Beis Din framework and within the response. Again, no one's going to say Chiyuv Misa, you know, but this is an echo of Zakei Mamre. Later on, the Kuntzas Feikos, even though he loved it so much, you know, but intellectual honesty, so that's when he notes that it's not so simple. So he says here, this is Vav Gimel, Gama Shapirish, Rameri Ravoshi Mchaviv, rather, Bekavonis Devrein, Bemesha Kasav, Gabe Dayanim, the Miudet Hu Kimisheino, Mishunda Miud Mevatlin Daitam, Mevne Sfaras Arabim, Vendicholim Lahora, Solika Sfarasam, Kedisaba Nechnok, and Gabi Zakin Mamri, Im Heyoshi Svara Chaviva Meod, Ani Mahasfes Ba, the Efsha de Zelo Nemar Alib Bezna Godel Shalayin Aleph. Avil Besharba Tedinim Shabi Israel, Man Lemelon Shayla Yuchal Amiut Lahoros Kefis Farasam. Right? So that's an interesting question. Here, of course, we have again the question of the qualitative parallel, you know, between Bezin HaGadol and Sharba Tedinim. But here, of course, it's really not even in the Bezdin level. You know, it could be a Bezin level in terms of Klal Yisrael or the level of the Samuch, you know, as a member of Zakein of Bezna Gadol and so on. But it likely is a ninya not so much of the Bezin Bezna Gadol, but again, the Chachmei Mesora part of Bezin HaGadol. But either way, that's the Hisus. That's why in the end, the Kuntzas HaSfeikos turns away from this. And instead of, what's interesting, instead of focusing on the first half, Kamisha Eino, right, he ends up focusing Dafka on the second half. This is what I mentioned yesterday. This is Vav Gimel. Al Korchach nearly, the fee something, Demasha Kotzavatosis, Degabe Deonim Choshev Miut, Didhu Kamisha Eino, Velekele Meimar, Huki Mamona Cheskas Mare, Babezen Mafgir Mine, Hochi Perusha Devadai, Deleka. cheskas mamon, kigon shein shemechad mehem muksak, gam shmumo de dozinim bimamonos, bechad basar rather ruba. Now, if we were in a situation where there was no problem, motzi mechmer, all of araya, then why wouldn't rove work in dine mamonos? Ukamosh is bar lekamon, the ikar taima, the ein hocham bimamon achar rove, umishum the smoke miyuta lecheskas mamona, havale palgo palga. The chinchu atosus the gabe dayanim al shaych lememur ukum and becheskas mare, right? Again, mine is cut off a little bit. The something mafkina minei, klamar the koch doesn't alim lafkuei becheskas mare, ukenderech she matzinu bam. What goes next?
Sveka
the trey u trey. Okay, so basically, the kunch sasvekos. Drops the Maran Bim Chaviv Perush, which is very much like Reb Chaim's, and which is this new Chiddush in moderate Zakein Mamre, for the second, and then by the, in the Reisha again, he pretty much, you know, ignored the, or saw as an effect, the continuing words of Tosas, whereas basically what he's suggesting now is that the whole action is in the Seifa, and the Reisha is really a result of the Seifa, rather than the Seifa being a result of the Reisha. But again, as we said yesterday, that isn't so simple either, that Hefker Bez and Hefker's implicitness neutralizes Motzi Mechaver Alav Araya in every such case. Okay. I should also mention that in Vav Gimel, he quotes a Shev Shmaitza. That we discussed, when the rove comes first or last, he likes that very much. He's mitzaref that to some of his own svaras to explain Shitas HaRambam, etc. So that's something that we discussed the other day. Okay. In Vav Gimel, in the end, he makes it clear that in theory a Motzi Mechaver Alav Araya could distinguish Mamonos from Nefashos sufficiently. That's a Hocham Mamon Achar Rov and Nefashos, but not a Mamonos. But again, that maybe depends on the Deos in Tosas. And then in Vav Dalid, he has a Sikum Ha'olam Idvareinu D'Lashitas HaTosas Bameniach, right? Lo Medamina Dini Mamonos Adina Nefashos, or Bedina Nefashos the Olam Azinu Basaruba. Dine moment is lozino lafuke chetzkas marakama de idach ulishitasam reis sanhedrin ein hefresh kalm bein dimen amon is ladino nefashos ubasa rov chashuv azino betravayu ubasa ruba de lo chashuv kama ruba laradya betravayu lo azlinan ne kvarkas haftila el besifalev tafila ruba de mahani be iser batinu de lo hava chashuv linen dine moment is ladino nefashos ulishitasam de sanhedrin. Thus for Tosan Sanhedrin there's still iser where something like Ruba Laradja would work, even though it wouldn't work. Basically what he's saying is, for Tosas in for one view in Tosas, if you're Mechalek between the Fashos and Mamonos, it's only Mamonos where Ein Hocham Bamanach are run. And for the other view, where we're equating Mamonos and the Fashos, there's still Iser where Azlinam Basar Afil Ruba de Garua, even though not in Mamonos and not in the fashos. And then he says, "V'kar beinai shafid ruba diisa kaman efshel lachoshiv kanach the perik ben sora mora after hanach ruba delay." There's some cases of ruba delaysa kaman which are stronger than ruba diisa kaman. Something I mentioned the other day, and that's whether it's considered miut matzui or ena matzui, and that's partially his pshat in the Rambam. And then also to mention that he mentions several times, and this is klal vav sif hey or chelik hey, that when it comes to Matnas Kahuna and Matnas Aniyim, and again in Os Zion, when it talks about Tzvek, that Matnas Kahuna and Matnas Aniyim are all going to be treated as Safek Iser, not Safek Mamon, and therefore there you also say Azinu Basaro. Yeah.
Going back to Zakein Mamre, should be who are people who directly connect Bosasu to being the Zakein Mamre for the
That's all right, did I?
That directly connect Bosasu to being the mini Zakein Mamre.
Yeah, what about it?
Who says
it? Oh, who says that? That's a kind of Zakei Mamre?
Yeah.
I think in the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, he quotes that from some of the Acharonim. I'm trying to remember which ones. Yeah.
One of the Kuntres Zegov is trying to argue that that we're using this kind of miniature Zakei Mamre. He then applies it to Eidos. How is Zakei Mamre relevant to the kind of Eidos?
What do you mean, Eidos?
He tries to say that the same way we follow Rove by Batei Din, we also follow Rove, you know, Rove in Shein, and making mistakes by Ibur HaKodesh.
No, I thought those, he says, that he draws from the Shef Shmaitz. That's what I'm saying. I thought in that part he's quoting the Shef Shmaitz.
Yeah.
Right? In the continuation, he says, V'dover zesh alti, he's bothered by, Gemar and Chulin. Right, so, here, Udvar v'ahuvin v'chavivim, right, that's the third time. Right? Udvar v'ahuvin v'chavivim, al v'adayim tzrichin nagar l'holman. Right? It's good language. Why? The Nehi, the Basa de Ruba de Inchi Tobi, Bur de Yarcha, Kos of the Lake of Miuta, she is Machanidon with the Esha Eda Midamal Yom, Echar of Almayasa, Mayane, Baosa, Suffolk, Berkama de Chulin. So he has a bunch of questions. To answer that, he says, Vidavas Shalti Meis Rav Achi Umori. Right, each one gives the other one a lot of kavod. You see this? The heishiv li, the yesh lechalek, bein something, ben hecha debar rov kodem ha-maisa, or bein shelo b'shas maisa. And that's how he explains the tobi bur diarcha.
Even before that, he quotes the Maravim Chavid, and he says, "Ubahayte ruta tirtu nami lahayde ben zor remota."
One second. Hachanami Taima. Again, mine got cut off here. Hachanami Taima. One second. Achinami time of the hasam the lamotzi hanidon lahatzal hatzam of lomar kaimelam bahani kimle rather bahani edus shehem miamiut shelotob ibur diyarcha it's totally different. You're right. I think what he's saying is that there are certain people don't have the right to be an akshan. I think is what he's saying. People do not have the right to be an akshan. In other words, to hold fast to their conviction against certain realities. And whenever that is true, we dismiss a contrary view. I think he's saying, but thank you for bringing it out. That's the common denominator here. He's not saying that there's a Zakei Mamre in Eidos. That's what you're asking, right? Right? What he's trying to say is, what Zakei Mamre does in the context of Beis Din is what the objective, Inshi Toi Bibur Diarcha does in the context of Eidos HaLachodesh. And that is, it makes a mockery, or it dismisses legally, right, the ability to hold on to your das miut. And we'll see in a moment, this is very consistent with the issue of Kimli, which we'll get to in a second, which also requires that there be a certain objective validity, right, to saying Kimli. So I think, thank you for bringing it out, I didn't notice it, but I think that's clearly what he says. I want to just make sure I'm not making a mistake. The Hasam de Lomotzi Hanidon Lahatzal Atzma Velomar Kimli. He already says Kimli. Kimli Bahani Eidos Shehem Meamiut. Delo To Be'ibr Diarcha. Vedafka Kamasadi Vakhushe Makhashi Adadi. Mishum Dare Aidim Omdim Lefanenu Shem Idim Alav Omrim Debiom Echad Kamasadi. That's what it is. Meaning there are, in the case of Bezin, he can't hold on to his miyud view because of the halacha, al pi din of zaken mamre, right? And therefore, al pi din, it's not credible. And in the case of this, objectively, it's not credible. Okay. Good. Okay. So now, what I want to do is just take a couple of more minutes. That's a good transition in. To speak about Vav Zayin, we spoke about already. That's his discussion of Svek Sveka. We talked about that yesterday. But I want to speak now, just quickly, is about Vav Vav. What is Vav Vav? That's about Kimli. So as we know, the poskim discuss this question. You know, if three Dayanim, we say, Azlinim Basarov, even in Dini Maminis, do we say the same thing in a Machlokes HaPoskim? That's a fascinating question. So if you're going to emphasize, like the Kuntras HaSvekos does, Lamaskana, Hefker Bezen Hefker, there's no Hefker Bezen Hefker in Psak, there's only Hefker Bezen Hefker in Bezdin. So the ability to say Kimli from that point of view, Ke'echad Min HaPoskim, you know, would seem to be in Hochem B'Mamon Acharo. All things being equal. If you take the view of the Maram Ibn Khabib, right, or the view of Reb Chaim, which is that what we're dealing with here is, you know, three Dayanim who are corroborating, either because they must or they can't refuse, that's their duty, or because that is simply the working methodology of the institution unit of Beis Din. So again, you can't compare Kimli and Dayanim, right? Kimli, there's no framework, there's no consensus, there's no institution, there's no Zakei Mamre, etc. So if you hold either like Rami Kabib or Reb Chaim, or like the Kuntas HaSvekos himself, right, then all things being equal, unless there's some other factor which we're going to get to in a second, you know, Kimli, Kedas, you know, Shitas Samiut, should be a problem. Right? You won't say Rov. If you hold like the Urim V'Tumim, which we discussed yesterday, who says that what's unique, again, he too thinks it's Kalesa, but it's Kalesa based on Shai, according to Tumim, also thinks it's Kalesa. That's the emphasis in Tosis. Yeah, it's a mutually exclusive argument, and since it's a mutually exclusive argument, so, you know, there can only be one view. Again, intuitively, we might have said the opposite. Right? We might have said that, you know, since it's either, you know, it's a zero-sum game, in other words, it's either one or the other, so maybe we should be more concerned. But anyways, we understand this view. That's the view of the Tumim. That's how he explains it. And again, just to make it clear, it has nothing to do with Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, you understand. In other words, the legitimacy of certain competing views in Halacha, in terms of Chafetz Shel Torah, or as a possibility, doesn't in any way negate the fact that there's mutual exclusivity if you're coming to a certain single conclusion, right? Either Chayv or Potter in this case. You know, we can understand Panim Lakan or Lakan, you know, and that's a good thing in the process, something we'll discuss as well. But in the end of the day, you know, there is, it's not, you know, Rov Nashim, Misyaldos Letisha, and, you know, Miut Nashim, Misyaldos Leshiva. It's not. It's mutually exclusive. But if you take the mutual exclusivity, and you think that leads you to a conclusion of Kalesa, so how does that work for Kimli and Poskim, Shai?
You could say the same thing. Binary.
So you might really say that what the Tosa says in Bava Kama, where it applies in any halachic disputation. Makes sense. As opposed to Reb Chaim, as opposed to Maram Ibn Khabib, as opposed to Kuntras HaSvekos. yeah. So that's the background, in a way, of his discussion. And that's pretty much what he says. He quotes the Tumim, he quotes the Marim Kaviv, he quotes his own Shita. Doesn't quote Reb Chaim for some reason, but no, I'm just joking. But along the way, you know, he provides us with another treat, and that is, you know, whether or not, you know, there aren't other factors that are koveya regarding Kimle. So it's just Kivan Shabali Adenu, and it is also relevant. So let's just discuss it for a couple of minutes. So this is Gimel. I'm sorry, this is Vav. What did I say? Vav Vav? Vav Vav. Okay. So somebody want to read it just quickly? Go ahead, Yomtan. Kivan de Ein Hochem Bamoman Acharo. Shamina de Huadin, the Psak Din. Right? Be'in in Mamon. Nami Lozina Basaro Poskim Amechaiv. You have it up there? Vava? So you're starting off assuming that Ein Hokum B'Momen Acharov, meaning Choshesh in Lemiut and Motzim Mechrela Varaya, that we will not treat Poskim like we treat Dayanim. Okay? The Aval Pi, Sharav, Moharash, meaning the Chumash Hadeshen. Basically, La'el, meaning he thought that if Dayanim are different and they command the Lesa, maybe that applies to Poskim too. Right? Now he's saying, no, it's not comparable. Golomi by Marin Rabba Moshe and Chaviv. In various languages, interesting. Golomi Piksavam. Of course, that's a little bit of a joke, like an insider's joke. Right? The Vikuach is Mipiyam. Maybe they're sitting in a room, they're debating the Psat. They're within a framework, and then you have this moderate Zaken Mamre idea. You know, part of signing up into a Beis Din is, you know, going along with the, you know, Zaken Mamre esque psak. Velomi piksavam, meaning not when it's all over the place and it's based on, you know, Makoros and it's a Beis Medrash argument. Right, go ahead. B'meshenach l'kubis sifrayim. So meaning, if they were locked in a room, that's one thing. Is he implying that if they were all locked in a room and it was a closed system, even if it wasn't a Beis Din, there would be this like obligation to, you know, to vote? And I don't know. Or is he just saying, you know, is he emphasizing the fact that there's no framework, or is he emphasizing this is a special din in Beis Din because that's Shaykh to Hora and Zaken Mamre in a much more particular sense? I don't know. I think it's an interesting question. But go ahead. Yeah, meaning Hefker Bezen Hefker, the Seifa certainly doesn't apply to Plukta Durabusa. Okay. Then he says, this is just very interesting to remember, we're going to see some other issues of this. The Da, Sheskimu Kol Gdole V'Chachme Sfarad, the Ein Lomar Kimli Kechad Posek, if you have two against one, since it's only one, you shouldn't say Kimli. Right, till now he's saying you can say Kimli because right, Motzim Karela Varaya applies even against Rove Poskim. Now he's saying no Kimli if you only have one Deya. Why? Avakosha Shnayim Messiah Mamuksak, I feel Kol Chachmi, listen to this. I feel Kol Chachmi Israel Bakaf Shani, Shaper Matsi Kaimalan, Matzi Amar Kimli, Kenegdan. Meaning, two against one is more overwhelming than, you know, 100, 1,000 against two? So, right, not probability wise, right? Right? But which way?
As Aedin. As Aedin, so
it would work. Aedus?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Aedus? No, yeah. I don't think it's an Aedus. Well, maybe not a coincidence, but it's not Aedus. The point is that anybody can have an idiosyncratic position, right? Even a great man can sometimes have an idiosyncratic position. So you want to have at least two. That second one, even if the percentages are lower, but it's, at least here he thinks, it's lafkue idiosyncrasy. It's not your craziness, right? It's like, you know, we're talking about delusion, you know, being delusional, that the Nesivus about, you know, why you need two Aedim. Because one person can have delusions. Two people don't have the same delusions. You know, it's a little bit Tolstoy-esque, you know. Right? No? Everybody got the illusion? Yeah? Good? You get the English credit? No? No?
I'll explain it better on
later. Thank you.
All happy families, it's not true, by the way, but it's a great line. How does it go? All happy families, Anna Karenina, line number, first, the first sentence. All happy families are happy in the same way. All, and it's not an exact quote, but it's not like that. All unhappy families are unhappy differently.
All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way.
There you go. It's totally not true. I'm going to say, it's not totally, oh no, let me say it this way. It's not totally true. But there is a lot of, you know, the Seifa is certainly true, and it's more true than not true, and it's an ingenious line. Okay. Anyways, well, you can just get it up like that. Amazing. Okay. So, and what did Sherlock Holmes say again? Okay. I think we did that. Okay. So this is an amazing thing. And again, I was quoting the Nesivus. The Nesivus says, the Ksos says you need two Aedim because that's Xeris HaKasim. Obviously you might need two Aedim because maybe that is a certain critical mass in terms of, you know, the Nemanus. The Nesivus says that Eid Echad would be Neman Legamri too. It's a very important principle. The problem is that we're worried that he has an overactive imagination, that he's delusional. He's boda milibo. And that you never have to worry. Once you have somebody else corroborating, two people are not delusional in the same way. That's the connection to the Tolstoy. Okay, anyways. Okay, so then he goes on to say, this is an amazing idea. Umahasis behu, barab simiku chaptal, made the reim umahasis behu, the kivan, the ein hochem bomanach harov, he's mahases on the, you know, if it's two, first of all, it's two against one, so idiosyncratic. Well, again, I think the point is the one can always be idiosyncratic. That's the problem. It's obviously not the percentages, because you have 1,000,000 to 1, 1,000 to 1, I'm sorry, 1,000 to 2, you know. Sorry, yeah.
In the sense of an eerie Yuma.
Yeah, we're going to get that. That what?
There he does make it seem like it is similar to Aedus and Trey.
No, it may be similar to Aedus in this sense too, right? In other words, in the Nesiva sense, that this is not idiosyncratic anymore. Or it's not a fantasy.
So he thinks that's what the Miri is saying by the Rokim also, where as long as you have two, now it's considered as if it's a
Yeah, 100%. But I'm saying it isn't midin Eidos.
Right.
It's for the same reason that Eidos, you know, according to the Nesivus at least, requires two. 100%. That's why I gave the example, and that's how we got into this. Lefika huala hela. Well, again, it's true that one position can always be idiosyncratic objectively, but, you know, let me say this. You don't really, you know, think of it that way. When three people are arguing and two people say one thing and one person says something else, your Kabbalah Seidus, if you will, your personal Kabbalah Seidus is not, ooh, I wonder if this one versus the two is idiosyncratic. You know, if it were five people against one, you'd start thinking, I wonder if this is just his mishagas or this is his idiosyncratic view. And by the way, that doesn't have to mean that he's unbe- it could be the biggest tamakakam. No one's infallible. He has a mahalach in this thing, but you know, that's his mahalach, okay? So it's an interesting thing. Is it that it's one, meaning that you don't know that it's corroborated by someone else, that makes it potentially suffic idiosyncratic? Or that certainly increases, you know, when the numbers of people against him increase. Right. By the same token, of course, you totally understand that one could have said it's all about the numbers, you know, in balance, and that if two people say things that 1,000 people are against, and one person says something that 2 people are against, or even if one person says something that 5 people are against, and 2 people say something that 1,000 people are against, that from another perspective, obviously, we might be more suspect about the idiosyncrasy of the 2 versus the 1,000. But you could totally understand what's happening here in this analysis. And this is basically a way of saying, you know, is there a latest asafek based on a different position of one of the Chachmei HaMesora? Is this Eilu Ve'Eilu? That's really what we're basically saying, right? Meaning, instead of giving numbers, whether it's one idiosyncratic always, or you know, 2 always being, you know, a legitimate position, maybe we should assess each case, right, based on what's going on. Shema poskim akolkim harbe ma'od. That it's 4, you know what? That's not a view. That's an individual. It's an idiosyncratic position that 4 people endorse. Right? But it doesn't, given what's arrayed against it, it's not yet, of course, who the person, as we'll see, is the quality of the people, the numbers, you know, all of these can be factors, and where you draw the line is important. V'lamotzi tain kimlon kimosa. V'im einon harbe kolkach yachaliyos shafilu echad nikram muat b'kai gav. Like we said, umotzi amar kimli kavasa. If it's 2 against 1, or 3 against 1, or 4 against 1, you know, that's one thing. And if it's 10 against 1, maybe that turns it idiosyncratic, because it isn't the oneness of it. You know, it's the combination of the oneness and the proportion. And again, even the 2 or the 4 or whatever it is, maybe is dependent on the proportion or maybe not. But really fascinating issues. Amnam, chazina l'rabbeinu achronim, shetofsu kulam kach l'chalik ben yachid l'shnayim. A lot of them really like this, 1 versus 2, l'kula and l'chumra, in other words, v'kamosha kazav v'bishmam. V'ayim b'knes ha'gdola, b'klali kimle, sheherich b'hai milsa. Al roi, losum ayim b'kushasa shalarav, kivan de enoch b'manach harov, mali echad, mali shnayim. Right, who cares? Because enoch b'manach harov. But we know the answer, because something idiosyncratic is not a latest asafek. And something that is elu ve'elu is a latest asafek. Ver isi l'rav, right, shekasav b'tayma, d'hai milsim mishum, d'echad afil neged shnayim, havim miyuta d'miyuta. Ubekai gavna, gamaman azina basarov. Havel shnayim afil neged kol ha'olam, havim miyuta ma'alya, usmoch miyuta l'chazaka, radcheskes mamana motzim mechaver alavaraya. So, again, no one here has to be a math major to understand that, you know, this is not probability, you know, not even in the new math, you know. Obviously, the percentages just don't make any sense. But what he means is that miyuta, this is the Kudsas HaSfeikos saying or quoting, that miyuta and miyuta de miyuta are not only, or in some cases even primarily, they're not numbers, they're not percentages. They are, you know, legally, can I discount this until I have to confront it and reconstruct it? Or am I obligated to, you know, to consider it? And that's really what's going on. Vayin shom sheherich, v'hevi smach na'el dvarav, v'mash ezbar b'shulchan aruch, linyan chola b'yom ha'kipurim. Ah, exactly what we're interested in. Anyom kippur. There are huge machloksim in the Gemara already, in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, right? How many doctors, you know, need to say that he's a chole you know, if it's one doctor who says he's a Kol HaMesukan and there are a million, so then we discount it. We say, we don't say he's a quack, or we'll say he's whatever, you know. But once our two doctors, right, that's already, but the percentage, they're more overridden maybe even than the one. Two deos already are a dea, right? That's not just idiosyncrasy anymore. Avlanias daiti yesh lefakt vekvazeh, til the dvarai, the chadga bishnaim av imyuta de miyuta, afilu bimamona, right? Hochem bekai gavna acharov, imkein mai duchkayu, tatosus bameniach liashev, ha, right? The gabe deyonim ochen acharov bimamon. Why do you need to give my answer, Marim Chaviv's answer, you know, Shev Shmaitza's answer, Reb Chaim's answer? Why don't we just say that whenever there's one, it's always a miyuta de miyuta, right? If that were really the truth. The common is chabatnu v'nislabatnu bazeh k'moshe k'zav l'el ha'be bezen shal shal shalom ishkachas ruba elika sheshnayim omrim chayim v'echad omr zakai v'az hava echad miyuta de miyuta ha'gavne mehani ruba gam b'mominis she'eskimu kol achronim de'in motzi momom b'svek sveka tamayim ishum de'in ochem momen acharov or kol svek sveki getlos et study safek or beit study b'lechavaso, right? The tzad echad is kuso, so it's two against one. The linear b'taima d'hai milsa. So again, what's he saying? Right, if one is miyuta de miyuta because of the idiosyncrasy, so you have a much easier answer in the Gemara. I mean, in the Rishonim. But I think that the answer, again, is one, you know, in the context of dinim and dayanim, where they're, you know, fighting it out, might be different than one posek who just comes to it on his own. Because again, it's not that, obviously it's not in the probability percentages, as we know, and that's explicit. So it's about, you know, latest asafek, legitimacy of the view, possibly being crazy idiosyncratic. So maybe when it comes to three dayanim locked in a room hearing the same case, you know, engaged in maso matan, you know, there we don't think the one is so idiosyncratic, and it's built in that it's three and that it's supposed to be two against one and that it's supposed to be an interchange of ideas, like you said before, mipiam v'lo mipiksavam. You know, when people are in their own rooms, their own generations, their own, you know, geographic locations, their own batei medrash, their own derech halimud, you know, so, and there's no framework, and there's no nidon standing in front of you either, necessarily. So in those conditions, the one is always suspect relative to any rov. It's only one position. Moreover, there always can be more positions, whereas here, there's going to be a rov, there's going to be two out of three. So I'm not bothered by that question. I think that's the answer that we need to get. But linear b'tayma, Hamilsa al pimach kasev aradvaz is also fascinating. Next level, lo mahani kimle aleheched shelo kiblo aleim lo dun de kafi peil posek ahu. Avo b'mekomo shenogu lifso karambam o karash ein lomar kimli knegdam. Right, this is called integrity of psak. Also, again, this also has to do with leidas asafek and elu de'elu. I mean, if you live in a Rambam, if you normally paskin like the Rambam and the Rosh, and that isn't arbitrary, there you're a gedolim. So the community is already committed to a certain methodology, right, of identifying, you know, a legitimate elav elu. I'm talking about in psak, not in the base medrash. That matters. But if he's after the bechad, afilu neged shnayim, nagu shelo lifsok kivase mishemachi amuchsak en yachalomar. Kimli Kavasi, can't ignore the tradition of psak that you are typically belong to. Right? That's part of integrity, part of consistency. V'achimashim v'lashon marik shakasa pshita v'kai gavna filu b'mamon lava matzalamer kimli k'divrei yachid v'lo k'kol chachmei Yisrael ואפילו תפס מפגין המיני, וזה פשוט, וכלמן דנוקס לאום כדדינה, ולגורה מהיך דסוגי, דסוגיה, דאלמה כחד, דלזינם בטרי. Okay, that's very important. Then, finally, it gets to the Urim Betumim. Dasha Urim Betumim, Tzavach Kekruchia, you can almost envision this, right? About this issue. Right? He got very emotional about it, the Urim Betumim. Al Haiklola, the Kaili the Matzi, Amar Kimli, Kimmiut Negen Arabim. So listen to the Tumim, it's critique. Im adavar kein bo v'nitzvach al marana beis Yosef shepasak b'rov shulchan aruch choshem mishpat al pi arov v'nishan al pi ma shekasubak damaso, right, where he says he takes, you know, two out of three, you know, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. Eicho chashash lezeh shamuksak yachal omar kim li kimiyut. He's basically saying the whole shulchan aruch, you just throw it out, chas v'shalom, throw it out, because you can always say kim li kiyachid. And he always, if he's paskining based on rove, so it's never binding, right? The su imkain lechinam tarcho aposkim amechaskim deosayim berayos shonos v'lashava malu b'hem v'lolam yomar amuchsak kimli d'lo kvasayu. You have to turn over every single raya. You're working hard for the rayas, and he's saying, "Sorry, kimli," you know, with a big smile. Ubefrat she'en la poskim. Shemsiu I call him Makom Lismoch Ildvar. Says the Kuntzas Vekos, Ein Baim Kede Lachlok, Al Haiklala Shiskimubo Famalia Sharbosenu Achronim. Which is interesting, right? Because the whole point is the Urim Vetumim saying, you know, Kimli, you can't operate with Kimli, right? It's against the Masorah of having, you know, Psak on the base of Rov. So the Kuntzas Vekos says, we're not going to throw out Kimli because the Urim Vetumim says it's against the Masorah of Psak, because it's the Masorah of Psak that we believe in Kimli, right? It's good stuff. Umasha Kasa Mirana Beis Yosef, this is really interesting. Lo Kasha Midi, Lefi Shabana Sifra Pishlosha Amude Hara Elu, Harif Harambam the Harash. Ukishanech Kubadavar, Lo Yimalech, Lo Yhe Echad Neged Shnayim, Bekai Gavra, Lo Mirun Kimli. Meaning, this is already structured in. That's a different story. In a way, he's saying it a little bit almost like, is he saying it's like a Bezdin? You know, this is a closed system. If you have an open system, that's one thing. But basically, the Shulchan Aruch said, you know, I'm paskening based on the Bezdin of the Rif, the Rambam. Now, it isn't a Bezdin. It's not a Chalos Bezdin. But it's what I was saying before. It is a closed framework, if you believe it. Right? Truth is that what Shulchan Aruch says in the Hagdamah is more of a working, you know, plan than it is, as many people have pointed out, than it is an actuality. So it's like, you know, it's guidelines, which is important. Anyways, this is fascinating. What he's saying is, this is the system that we're employing Meirosh here. So of course the one isn't idiosyncratic or, you know, but it's also not, you know, the basis for Kimli, because the Psak is being rendered by the Shulchan Aruch in this framework, based on this working principle. The im lefamim yimatzei litzaref od eza posek. So, you're going to start scouring the Shulchan Aruch whenever he quotes anybody but the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. So then you can say Kimli. Efshar de bahadu mekomos echriya beis Yosef misvaraso lemasha posek machlokas ahi. You know, what seems like smach of a posek, you know, acher, other than the big three, is really him saying, this is what I think, which is probably true, right? But then he adds the following, which is really important. Gam ma shekasav dimkei lechinam torchu v'omlo aposkim hamachzikim b'deyoseyem shemusak yomar kimli kenegdam chas v'shalom lo lechinam hu. This is beautiful anyway. Shebevadai haiklala de kimli lo nemar elik shadayin hadin hahu balefanav eina machriya misvaraso lechad minho. This is a huge chiddush and very, very appealing. And even if you don't say it here fully, the implications of it generally are very, very critical. He says all of this is when dayanim are paskening in a procedural kind of a way. Like, let's say the, you know, so, oh, we paskin like the Rif. They say, oh, I think we paskin like the Rambam. Right? So then you have all this whole discussion. But if the psak is based on their svara, neged rabim, that's a Mishnah, and then Pirush arrived there. Sheim yireh lebezdin shalacha k'divrei yachid ikav alacha kemoso. Hilka kol echad mechuyev. Listen to the language. Laharchiv daito lechazek berayos. Sharayos yitnu edehem. I mean, rayos are their own reward, but they don't just, you know, reinforce something. They add, you know, really to the conviction. Not piling it on. The yitzdiku, the im lekochos yesharos hein yoru leva dayan amaskil al derech emes lachria kimoso. As people will see the truth, it's not a waste of time at all. Oh. So basically, what he says is that if you're paskening based on svara, then the koach in that case is to go even against the rove and against the muksakus, and that's the ultimate power. Gamashakosa beprach ein lahem mokom lismoch tamani halo kavu yachad b'mokom neman ein hokom b'manacharo. This is other objection to the tumim. Then he says v'iul l'shitaso shapiresh b'taima degabed deyonim shneimar b'chayiv v'zakon merkayiv v'okon acharo b'shem z'sharubu miyot shneim emes. Avagabe svaras hadayanim echas me'atzadim sheker dimu chayv enezaka yivchein lahafech v'yoser v'yoser what's the next word? Mistaber, sorry, litlos hatos b'miyot mi litlos barov. That's his explanation why it's command leisa l'fizeh gam b'plukta d'rabusa. According to the Tumim, he says the Tumim is l'shitaso. Aval tama klishahu, he doesn't like it. Why? Teda sheper kam dechulin yalfina rubedisa kaman me'acharav lahatos. And if it's true that Sanhedrin is different because miuta kaman d'leisa because of the mutual exclusivity, how can the Gemara compare it? So we're going to answer that in a second. Aval masha kosev arum betumim dekabala biyado she'ein lo markimli kosa posek. Asher harava mechaber verharmolo is kiro daita b'shulchan aruch yafa amar. Now we're getting back to quality, right? Who's your posei? What about the shulchan aruch and the rama? Right, shulchan aruch and rama are more canonical. The chen shamati she'ein lomar kimli neged hachras rama. The kozel ledat mitam kabbala nagubei. Kozel daita mitam kabbala nagubei. Shanach negrarim achar hachras rama. Sora. Well, derech sheivesi b'samuk b'shem radvaz d'lok urim b'tum shakasuz amitam rachok. So you have a lot. There's a lot to think about here. Again, the final idea that he has about, you know, a dayan who's you know mora on the basis of his svara, and that being different than the typical case, is really something which I think others would disagree with, in the sense that I think every dayan is based not on procedure. Do we paskin like the Rambam of the Rif? Or do we really think this is the halacha? But either way, the individual things that he says are... So what we have in front of us is like a whole series of different factors for different poskim in terms of what constitutes a miuta, dimiuta, or a miuta, but here not in numbers, but in leda sasafek, or in this case, elu ve'elu. And whether it's, you know, the numbers, the proportion, the number one... the quality of the cholkim vis-a-vis each other, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, the question whether it's based on svara or on you know on authority, all of these are different factors, both in Kimli and in Elu Ve'elu, which are surely consequential. Now, the final question that he asked against the Tumim, which is how can the Gemara Nechulin bring a raya, you know, about a rove? From Dayanim, if Dayanim is so different, what's the answer to that question? Right? That's a good question, right? But that's a question that you could ask against various interpretations of Tosas in Bava Kamma. Right, Tosas Bava Kamma is saying that the robe of Dayan is different, it's Kamandalesa. Yet that's being cited in Chulin for a Zinobasa robe generally. Right? So I guess Bishlomo, if you think like the, why does the Kutras HaSveikas think that's a good question? Let's break it down. If you hold like the Kutras HaSveikas himself, so we understand it totally. Why? Because that line in Tosas and the uniqueness of the robe of Dayanim only has to neutralize Motzei Mechaver Lo Araya. It doesn't have to establish credentials as a robe. Right? And that's what you have based on Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. That's a din in Bezdin. But what the Gemara is saying in Chulin is that in, not in Mamanus, where you have Motzei Mechaver Lo Araya, but in Kol Torah Kula, in Yisr V'Heter, where we want to say Azinu Basar Rov, so we know from Bezdin that Azinu Basar Rov. I in Bezdin, Azinu Basar Rov, even in Dini Mamanus, Kamisha Eino. Yeah, that's because there you have to counter Motzei Mechaver Lo Araya, but fine. But he's saying, according to the Tumim, who thinks that what's unique is not the Motzei Mechaver Lo Araya part, based on Nesker, Bezdin, Hefker, it's the negation or the mutual exclusivity of the positions, which leads you to conclude that the miut is kamandalesa, because otherwise it couldn't survive, otherwise the rove couldn't survive, it's all or nothing, right? So if that's what it is, so it's built into the rove, not so much what the rove needs to, how do you know just because a rove kamandalesa, you know, a rove which makes the miut kamandalesa works, how do you know that a rove which is not mutually exclusive to its miut, which is not kamandalesa, how do you know that works? So that's why this kutras HaSveikos, in a way, right, l'shitaso, can afford to lob that grenade, you know, on the shita of the tumim. But the truth is that the same, pretty much the same objection could be made against Reb Chaim, right? Because Reb Chaim's answer to the question of Tosas and Bava Kamma, as we discussed already, is that there's a din of Ruba Kakula. So if it's a din of Ruba Kakula, how can the Gemara in Chulin quote it? Right? What's Reb Chaim's own answer to that question, Yosef?
I'm not sure.
An honest answer. Did you get a chance to look at it? He does address it. Not asked this way, but implicitly. David? Every Rubo Kakulo also implies that Azina Basarov. It's Bechlam Asayim Mana. Just that Rubo Kakulo is more ambitious in a way than Azina Basarov. Because Rubo Kakulo basically speaks, you know, for the call on the basis of the consensus of the Rov. But Reb Chaim, without saying it in so many words, is basically saying, because he's bothered by this, because our Gemara speaks about Azina Basarov. Doesn't say Rubo Kakulo. And the Gemara does link the rove of Dayanim with Azinu Basar Rov and Kol Torah Kula. So what Reb Chaim says is, David, there are two elements in din. Right? The second one is the one that we've been discussing, Rubo Kakula, where the consensus stands, you know, and backs the conclusion of the total group. But before you get to there, how do you get to that point? You have to relate to something else, namely. Yeah, you have to figure out the din or the MS of the case. How do you figure that out when some people say chayiv and other people say zakai? So from a din point of view, there's a safek. How do you get past that? So Reb Chaim says if it wasn't for Azlina Basarov in the Beis Medrash or in the Maso Matan, right, we wouldn't then take the next step and say that Rubo is Kakulo. But there are two different points, but if it wasn't for one, there wouldn't be the other. We could say it more strongly also. This is not the way he says it, but I think he probably would agree to it, and that is that there's, you know, in addition to, you know, so the way Reb Chaim says it basically is that in every Psak Din which works on the basis of Ruba Kekula, and therefore can overcome the problem of Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya, there is also an implicit Azinu Basarov, and the Gemara in Chulin, you know, which links the two of them together, is going to be based on that. But that doesn't help you so much for the Tumim. But what I would say, add to Reb Chaim, I'm not sure if he meant it or not, is aside from being two, you know, one implicit in or in the earlier stage of the other, there also just may be an overlap in these two things. In other words, would we ever say that a majority can represent a consensus if we didn't first credit, you know, the majority, you know, with likely, you know, being significant and establishing, you know, a not totally arbitrary capacity to make decisions? I can't prove that. I'm just saying instinctively. In other words, if we were so worried about miut, you know, commanda issa, and we discounted, you know, probability in terms of numbers and likelihood of truth, and we felt that, you know, no matter what the numbers are, there's always a possibility, and therefore it's arbitrary completely, you know, to move forward according to the row. So would we also be likely to say that a consensus of Rove can represent a call? I can't prove it. I could probably make the argument that maybe you could. But just, you know, without being contrarian, in other words, if we were to be, like, reasonable, you know, which is occasionally a good thing to be, I think that we would all agree that there's an overlap between, it's actually in a way implicit in that sense too. That's Reb Chaim's implicit Azinu Basarov and Ruba Kekulo is you can't get to Ruba Kekulo before you decided, you know, the psak, the base medrash problem. So there's an implicit Ruba Kekulo. What I'm saying is more than that. What I'm saying is saying Ruba Kekulo is a sine qua non. I'm sorry, saying Azinu Basarov, the concept meaning, which means we're not being arbitrary, we're being reasonable. Whether, you know, in the specific case because we believe there's a biror, or even more that there's no latest a safek, or even if it's just a hachron, we acknowledge there's still a safek, but that's still different than saying we're totally being arbitrary and moving on. Even that formulation, in my opinion, probably is a sine qua non to saying that Rove defines call. And in that sense, Ruba Kekulo implies Azinu Basarov. And if that's true, I think that's true for the Tumim, in a way, as well. In other words, to say that mutually exclusive Roves and Miuts result in a Kemandalesa, which is what the Tumim says, you know, would be difficult if we didn't acknowledge, you know, that at minimum, Azinu Basarov, that probability matters in halachic life in terms of neutralizing, you know, a completely arbitrary decision. And therefore, you know, what the Gemara means in Chulin is that the fact that you have this more ambitious Rov couldn't exist if you didn't have the hachra of Rov, and hence, b'chal masaymana, one is a raya to the other. Okay. I guess we'll stop here. I wanted to get a little further, but so Thursday, what we have to do is we're going to continue with the Shakta Vatari of Rebbe the Chachamim. That's the next Gemara, and that's perfect because five or three, especially in Reb Chaim's understanding, you know, may not just be a din in Tchilas din and Gemar din, but a din in how many Dayanim are there, or is there just a unit? Right. And then from there to discuss the Sugya on Chavtes and Lamed. You know, what can be disclosed in terms of voting and why, and in terms of malpractice, you know, what are the liabilities for the Dayan who turned out to be right but it was in the minority, for the ones who were in the majority, you know, the Yerushalmi's discussion, whether you can force the minority judge to sign on, and the question of Eini Yodea, the Gemara of Hayom Beis. Okay, so we'll continue with all that on Thursday.